We'll commence our worship this morning with the singing of the Psalm 1, that man of perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. Psalm 1, we'll stand as we worship the Lord together. Still our hearts in the Lord's presence. Let us come before the Lord in prayer this morning. As we pray, remember our sister Mrs. Benison, who's hospitalized, and do please remember her at the throne of grace in prayer, that the Lord's healing touch will be upon his servant, faithful member of our church, and who needs our prayers especially at this time. And the family would appreciate that. And she would appreciate it as well. And others, of course, who are hospitalized or ill, remember them all at this time. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come into thy holy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, O God, that we are privileged to be able to come before thee today. And we come in that peerless and precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that we come to one who hears and to one who answers the prayers of his people. We thank thee that the ear of the Lord is open to the prayer of the righteous. And Lord, we come this morning and we desire that thou wouldst hear and that thou wilt do great things, even as a result of the prayers of thy people. That our prayers will ascend a sweet incense before the very throne of God. We pray that they will be acceptable in thy sight. And we pray for mighty answers, not only today, but in days to come. We pray that we might see your hand at work, your arm made bare, your power demonstrated in a land and a nation that is godless. It's turned its back upon thee. Lord, we pray for a move of God. We pray for righteousness to prevail in our nation. For righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Have mercy upon us, O God. in her government, in the royal household, and right across the nation and the land and beyond to the nations of the world. Have mercy upon the people. Turn their hearts again unto Thee. We know that the powers that be are ordained of God, but we would, Lord, desire that righteous leaders might be raised to lead the people in a way of truth and back to God. We cry to Thee, O God, that Thou wouldst remember this congregation. Remember those who are with us today, those who are on holiday, absent. We pray for others who have maybe grown careless by the way and gone into Bypath Meadow. Bring them back again to Thy house and, Lord, amongst us to worship God in person. And we pray for Thy presence and Thy help for all who listen in today, that Thou wilt speak to any who are not saved in this building and beyond this boundary, that Thou wouldst deal with hearts and that Thou wouldst work in lives today, bringing souls to Christ. Remember those who are ill. Do remember our dear sister, Mrs. Benison, today. Thank You for her faithfulness, her love for this place, the house of God and the place of prayer. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt remember her and that Thou wilt touch her. Remember her family. And we pray for any within that family who know not her Savior. They may be brought to know her Lord and Savior today. Remember others, our brother Carl, in his confinement to nursing care. Remember Carl today. Remember Thy servant, who again was so faithful over decades of time. And for others in our congregation who cannot now, because of age or infirmity, meet with us as they formerly did, bless them also today. And may they know the help of God. Bless those who are holidaying. Lord, may they not forget this is the Lord's day. And may they worship Thee wherever they are. And grant that they may be refreshed and brought back in the fullness of the blessing. Remember this place. Remember the preaching of the Word. Help this preacher today to exalt Christ, to make much of the blood, and to make much of our blessed Savior. We pray for the meeting tonight again. Draw people in. Bless the word of testimony. Bless the preacher. Bless the preaching. Remember, O God, the needs, O God, of many in this district may be brought to Christ at this time. Remember the future, Lord. Bring to this pulpit a man sent from God, that the people now will be praying and will continue in prayer, that Thou wilt meet that man, and that Thou wilt meet the people, and both will meet together in a perfect union. And grant that this pulpit will have a man filled with the Holy Ghost to preach the word in days to come. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Amen. We'll join in the singing of the hymn 488. And it's on the screen as well as in your book if you prefer the hymn book, or prefer to look at the screen, you have the choice. And so we'll stand after the introduction and sing to you. Thank you. While boys and girls were thinking about the story of Nehemiah again this morning, and we've been looking at this man, of course, and the problems he faced from the enemy, the problems he faced from without, Sanballat, Tobiah, Gershom, and those who were with them, they stood against Nehemiah. They didn't want the wall to be built. They didn't want the Lord's work to be done. And boys and girls, of course, through our lives, we face the enemies, those who come against us, and those who speak against us, and those who oppose God's work. They don't want God's work to go on. But Nehemiah faced not only problems without, but as we see this morning, he faced problems from among God's people. And sometimes we not only face problems from without, but from within. And we think, well, these are the people that should be supporting us. These are the people who should be standing with us. But of course, it doesn't always work like that. We're all humans, boys and girls. And we all have our faults and failures. And Nehemiah had faced these threats from his enemies. But now there was a problem among the builders. Many had left their work to build the walls. They had made great sacrifices. They needed money for food to pay the heavy taxes of the king of Persia. And so there were poor people there. And the rich Jews, they were, of course, charging them high interest rates on the loans that they had given to them. And Nehemiah wasn't a happy man. And of course, when the people couldn't repay these rich Jews, their loans, they were threatening to sell their children as slaves. And so it was a real problem. Nehemiah was angry because these rich Jews were greedy. They were greedy. They were making money out of their own people. And they were also breaking the law of God. Because God's law says that no Jew must ever make a slave of another Jew. The Bible tells us that in the book of Leviticus. And so, boys and girls, there was a real problem here. A real problem that needed to be sorted out. And boys and girls, we discover that this man, Nehemiah, called the people together. And he addressed these greedy Jews. These men who were making money out of their own people. And of course, he told them what they were doing was not right. It was against God's law. You must stop charging this interest. You must give the people back their fields and back their vineyards and back their houses that you have taken. And so the problem was faced up to, and the problem was solved. Nehemiah had a long cloak, and he shook his lap, warned the people, God will shake out every man from his house and from his labor that doesn't keep the promise that they've made. They'll be shaken out and emptied. And boys and girls, it was a very solemn time. The problem had to be solved. And sometimes, boys and girls, problems have to be solved. And here's the Nehemiah. He's a leader, but he's a problem solver. He sought to solve the problem among the people in order that the work might go on. The work of God should not cease, and it did not cease, because Nehemiah was God's man in God's place, in God's time, doing God's work in God's way. And boys and girls, wherever you are in life, God has placed you to do His work. To do His will among your friends. To build the wall for Him. To serve the Lord. And to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. If you know Him as your Savior. And if you don't know Him, then boys and girls, it is our prayer that you will come to know Him today. And ask the Lord, even this morning, to come into your heart to be your Savior. We're going to sing a little chorus now, boys and girls, and we trust you'll join in the singing of this chorus. We'll sing it through twice, away far beyond judgment, just keeping our seats as we sing and do the actions.
We're reading the Word of God this morning in the Psalm 1. The Psalm 1. We've already sung this psalm this morning. We're going to read it now. Psalm 1. And we're reading from the opening verse. Let us hear God's Word. What God is saying to us this morning from His Word. Psalm 1. And reading from verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of His precious, inspired, inerrant Word to all of our hearts. We do welcome you this morning to the house of God, to those who are linking in as well. We welcome you in the Lord's name. Remember the baskets at the exits for your offerings. The Missionary Council, a separate basket today for that offering. Do remember that, the work of our missionary cause across the world. The continuation of our series of drive-in services tonight in the church car park at 7. I will be the preacher, the Lord willing, continuing on the theme of great texts of the Bible. And I've been struck by many of the great texts in God's Word. We're going to continue that tonight in the Gospel. Brother Brian Hanna, one of our elders, will bring a word of testimony tonight. Trust you'll be able to join us again this evening. Invite others to come as well. Tuesday night, the Bible study prayer meeting resumes again. We're continuing in Romans chapter 8, that great chapter of God's Word in our Bible study for these weeks. And we trust you will join us on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. as we continue the study and seek the Lord in prayer. Next Lord's Day, morning prayer meeting at 11, the family worship 11:30, and the drive-in service in the church car park at 7. Our brother Mervyn Barr will share his testimony. Our sister Natasha will bring ministry and song, and I will bring the Lord's Word. Again, plan to be along at these services. As we have mentioned, remembering those that are sick at this time and going through treatments and recovering from illnesses, your prayers are appreciated. I trust you remember that. Our church outing on Saturday the 30th. We'd like numbers finalized if possible by today. And if you can do that, please get your name down. Check your menus that you've chosen what you want, because we will need to finalize this if you can do that today. Our own senior citizens are free, of course. And others outside our own congregation, the prices for adults, £25, children 0 to 5 are free, other children from 5 upwards, £10. Please do see our brother Bill or brother Hugh Senior for the payments, and if that can be done as quickly as possible. We don't want to have to gather money on the actual day of the outing. Saturday the 30th, leaving the church at 9, going to Loch Gall to the tour there for coffee and so forth. And there's a museum there. And then into Lurgan for some shopping, into Brownlow House. And there'll be a video presentation of the history of that place, as well as, of course, your dinner there. And then back here about 5. So we've cut down the time. We're not going for as long, and maybe not to as many places, but I trust will be enjoyable if you feel able to come and join with us. Do pick up your latest Vision magazine if you haven't done so. See to it this morning before you leave the house of the Lord. I think these are all the announcements that we have to make this morning. We're going to join in the singing of another hymn before we come to God's Word. 479, Search Me, O God, My Actions Try, and Let My Life Appear as Seen by Thine All-Searching Eye, to Mind My Ways Make Clear. 479 is on the screen as well. We'll stand after the introduction and sing together. Mm-hmm.
hearts before God, asking the Lord to speak to us through His Word this morning. Let us all pray. Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I draw your attention to the psalm that we have read from and we have sung earlier in our service to this morning. The psalm number 1. What a precious, priceless jewel God has placed at the beginning of the book of Psalms, or the Psalter. Such wisdom in doing so, for it points the way to blessing. And it warns about divine judgment. There are frequent themes in the Psalms, and I have been struck by many of those themes through the years. The images in this psalm would remind the reader of earlier teachings in the Old Testament. In Genesis we find people walking with God, for example, Noah, and for example, Enoch. And Abraham, to mention some. We have the life-giving river mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. We have trees and fruit mentioned again in the book of Genesis. And all the Lord connects the Psalms with Exodus to Deuteronomy. Finding success by meditating on the law and obeying it reminds us of Joshua 1, verse 8. The Psalms presents two ways. The way of blessing and the way of judgment. This was the choice of Israel. The choice that Israel had to make. They had to choose either the way of blessing or the way of cursing, according to Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Lord Jesus Christ used a similar image in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. And Bible history seems to be built around the concept of two men, the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam is mentioned, of course, in the book of Genesis, and then again mentioned in Romans 5. The second, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 45. You have Cain and Abel. You have Ishmael and Isaac. You have Esau and Jacob. You have David and Saul. And the Bible history culminates in Christ and Antichrist. Two men, two ways, two destinies. But I want to focus this morning on the theme, two ways. Here in Psalm 1. And let us, as we do so, ask a very important question as we consider the contents of this psalm this morning. Which way are you on? Which way are you on? And make sure this morning, before you leave this house or stop listening to this sermon, that you're on the right way. That you're on the way to heaven and not on the way to hell. I must be faithful to your soul this morning. I must be faithful to men and women. Through my ministry I've sought to be faithful. And no one can come and say, Smiley wasn't faithful. My friend, there's two ways. There's the way to heaven. There's a way to hell. Which way are you on this morning? I want you to notice here in verses 1 to 3, the way of the godly or the way of the righteous. And that is the theme of the first three verses of this psalm. The godly are abundantly blessed because they do not live according to the sinful philosophies and practices or associations of fallen men, but are deeply rooted in God's Word. It's wonderful what you can hear when you eavesdrop. Maybe you eavesdrop on a conversation.
you happen to be in a certain place and you hear a conversation. I was just in that place yesterday and was listening to someone as I walked past. The conversation was about the world and what this man was going to do and how he was going to, what he was going to do in the next 10 years, and what houses he was going to buy, and how things were going to pan out for him. I'm thinking, we don't know what the next minute holds. Never mind planning for the next 10 years. Nobody knows what a moment brings forth. The godly are not taken up with the associations of fallen man, but are deeply rooted in God's word. And such are those who receive blessing from the Lord, according to these first verses of Psalm 1. You see, God's covenant with Israel made it clear that he would bless their obedience and he would judge their disobedience. We have that in Leviticus chapter 26 and also throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And the word blessed here in verse 1 of this psalm has the sense, oh, the happinesses, oh, the blessednesses. The person described here met the condition. And therefore God blessed him. If we want God's blessing, we too must meet the conditions. First of all, we must walk in God's way as directed by God's word. That's the first thing. You see, as we look at Israel, they were a unique and separate people. They were among other nations, but they were not to be contaminated by other nations. The Bible sets Israel out as his peculiar people. His peculiar people. And so it is with God's people today. The Bible tells us from John 17 that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We must beware of fellowship with the world. It doesn't mean that we isolate ourselves in some mountain or some isolated place. It doesn't mean that at all. But we are not to be in friendship with the world in the sense of being identified with them and their practices. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 4 that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And it leads to us being spotted by the world, according to James 1:27. Even living and loving the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the result, my friend, of friendship with the world and linking with the world and loving the world will be conforming to the world. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we're not to be conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And you know, friend, if we link with the world and we don't repent, we will end up being condemned with the world. You remember Lot? He looked towards Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And soon he moved into Sodom. Though he was a saved man, and 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us that about righteous Lot. And his heart was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Yet, all that Lot had was destroyed in the cities of the plain. Genesis 18 to 19. And you know, my friend, if we go the way of disobedience, you see, our works will be destroyed. The Bible tells us that. That they will be as wood, hay, and stubble. They will not withstand the fire. And you know what is true? As it was true with Lot, it is true with us today. We move into sin and disobedience gradually. The Bible teaches us that in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 4 and again in Proverbs 7 and following verses. If you follow the wrong counsel, then you will stand with the wrong companions. Then you will finally sit with the wrong crowd. See what happened to Peter when he didn't follow the Lord's counsel. He ended up standing with the enemy. In John 18, 15 through 18, ultimately, he sat with the enemy. In Luke 22, verse 15. And the result was that three times he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. The word ungodly is used in this psalm. The ungodly are people who willfully and are persistently evil. The word sinners is used, and it means those who miss the mark of God's standards. But those who don't care, the scornful, make light of God's laws. They ridicule that which is sacred. The Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs that fools make a mock at sin, and the world mocks at sin. And when laughing at holy things and disobeying God's holy laws, it becomes entertainment. Then people have reached a low level indeed. And that's the low level that people have reached today in society across this world. And see clearly here then that the godly person doesn't walk in this counsel of the ungodly. Doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Doesn't sit in the seat of the scorner. Let me ask you this morning, are you walking in God's way? But the second thing is here, not only directed by the word, but delighting in the word. Look at verse 2 of the psalm. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, we move from the negative in verse 1 to the positive here in verse 2. Delighting in the word, meditating on the word, they go together. You read Psalm 119, it's a long psalm, but my friend, it's the psalm of the word. The psalm of the word. The statutes of God, the judgments of God, the precepts of God, the testimonies of God. It's all in the psalm. My friend, if we delight in the word, we will enjoy it. We will think about it. We will pursue it. The Bible talks about meditation here. In his law doth he meditate. In the Hebrew it means to mutter, to read in an undertone. For Orthodox Jews speak as they read the scriptures and meditate and pray. God's word is in their mouth. And Joshua 1 verse 8 speaks about this. God's law being in their mouth. And if we speak to the Lord about the word will speak to us about the Lord. This is what is meant by abiding in the word. 1 John chapter 2, the first epistle of John. There at the latter part of the New Testament, 1 John and the chapter 2 and the verse 14, first of all. 1 John 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. And the word of God, listen, abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Verse 24 of the same chapter. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father, the Word, abiding in us. And of course the psalmist talks about hiding God's Word in our heart, lest we should sin against the Lord. And the greatest help that we can get against sin is having God's word abiding in our hearts. Is God's word abiding in your heart today? As God's people, we should prefer God's word to food. You all like your food, your physical food, but we should prefer God's word to food. As newborn babes, said Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, he talked about those who would be mature, desire the strong meat of the word, being skillful in righteousness. We all like our sleep, but we should desire God's word more than sleep. Going to the Psalm 119, which we've just mentioned, and the verse 55. Psalm 119, verse 55. Listen to the words. I remember thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Again, going down the Psalm 119 to verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Desiring the word of God more than sleep. Desiring the word of God more than wealth. Again, Psalm 119, verse 14. Listen to what it says. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. People today are taken up with riches, the riches of this world. Like that man yesterday, talking about his houses and the houses he was going to buy. And if God has blessed you in that way, of course, you use it for the Lord and for His glory. Amen to that. But the Word of God is more precious to us than wealth. More precious to us than friends. Again, Psalm 119, verse 23. Listen to the Word of God. Princes also did sit and speak against thee, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse 51, going on down the Psalm, Psalm 119. And listen what it says. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. The Word of God is precious to the child of God. The way we treat the Bible is the way we treat the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible is God's Word to us. It's God's Word to us. Is that how you treat God's Word this morning? Delighting in His Word? You'll notice going back to Psalm 1, the verbs that are used in verse 1 are in the perfect tense. They speak of a settled way of life. But in verse 2, the word meditate is in the imperfect tense. It speaks of constant practice. In other words, the child of God keeps on meditating, keeps on considering, keeps on looking at God's Word. Such is his appetite for God's truth. He meditates upon it day and night. He constantly sets his mind on the truths of God's Word because it reveals the glory of God and the supremacy of God. Are you delighting in God's Word, Christian? Do you love God's Word? Do you love God's law day and night? Is it upon your mind when you wake up in the night time? As you rise up in the morning, as you go to bed at night, the law of God, the Word of God. And then, of course, we have the demonstration through the Word here. Look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice the image used here of the tree. The tree is a familiar image in Scripture. It's used to symbolize both a kingdom and an individual. And here it's referring to the godly person. Like a tree, they are alive, they are beautiful, they are fruitful, they are useful, they are enduring. And the most important part of the tree, what is the most important part of the tree? I wonder if I were to ask you this morning, what is the most important part of the tree? What would your answer be? Well, consider the question now. What is the most important part of the tree? Well, of course, it is the hidden root system. That's the most important part of the tree. It draws up the water and nourishment. And that's the most important part of the believer's life, is that spiritual root system that draws on the hidden resources that we have in Christ. And what resources, men and women, we have in Christ. We have all that we need because in Him and in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. Listen to these words of Scripture this morning. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, listen, being rooted and grounded in love. Again, moving over to Colossians. Just a few epistles over in the New Testament. Colossians 2. And look there at the verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted. Grounded. This is known as abiding in Christ. And I will not take time this morning to go into the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, the verses 1 to 9. It talks about abiding in Christ. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Is the word of God abiding in you this morning? Then you'll be like the tree. You'll be like the tree. A tree planted by the rivers of water. We think about a tree, we think of something that is established. We think of something that is strong. We think of something that has stability. Something that is steadfast. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In Scripture, water for drinking is a picture of the Spirit of God. And it mentions this in the 7th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 37 to 39. That from his belly there should flow forth rivers of living water. And the meaning there is given, this he spake of his Spirit. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. The water, of course, for washing pictures the Word of God. John 15 again, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5:26 talks about the washing of water by the Word. And how we need that stability. How we need also that washing by the Word. The Word of God dwelling in us. And then, of course, when we think about thirst for water, it's an image of thirst for God in the Psalm 42. Just cite one or two verses here to prove this. Psalm 42, in verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Again, Psalm 63, and the verse number 1 there, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Listen, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There are many, many other examples in Scripture to prove this. Thirsting for God. Are you thirsting for God, Christian? The river is often a picture of God's provision, of spiritual blessing for His people. Look at that wonderful psalm, the Psalm 46, which we often read. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The river of blessing for God's people. The Bible speaks about waters to swim in, doesn't it? Not only waters to the ankles, not only waters to the knees, but waters to swim in. The blessing that God gives to His people. We cannot nourish and support ourselves. We need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be drawing upon His spiritual power to meditate on the Word of God. Verse 2 of Psalm 1 is one source of spiritual energy, as our prayer and fellowship with God's people. Are you using these resources that are available to you? Alexander McLaren said this, and I quote, "Religion lacks depth and volume because it does not feed by hidden springs." We need the hidden springs, my friend, the hidden springs of God's Word. And the godly sets deep roots into a reservoir which will never run dry. One that refreshes us. One that revives us. One that renews us. One that cleanses us. One that satisfies us. Let us ever draw upon it. God's Word can sustain the godly. The tree planted by the river. It's sustained. So may we be sustained by the Lord. Trees may wither and die, but the believer who abides in Christ stays fresh because they have roots downward and they bear fruit upward. They are green and fruitful. And of course the Bible speaks here of the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth, verse 3, his fruit in his season. And fruit here speaks of many spiritual blessings. Winning people to Christ, of course, is one of the spiritual blessings. Godly character is another spiritual blessing. You think of Galatians 5, the character of the Christian that is set forth there in the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned. Galatians 5. Money given to God's work is another aspect of the spiritual blessings. Service and good works. Praise to the Lord. The fruit of our lips giving praise to His name. Hebrews 13:15. It's a tragedy when a believer ignores the root system, begins to wither. Have you been ignoring your root system? Is your tree, your life beginning to wither because you've missed out on the resources of God's Word? You've been taken up with this and that and the other thing in the world, and all are important, no doubt, in your sphere of life and what you need to do and what you need to do for your family and how you need these things for your home and family. But the most important things, my friend, are the things of God. Draw on the resources of the Word. Spiritual resources. It's a tragedy. We've seen believers over the years, and they have withered because they have neglected the things of God. We must remember that the tree doesn't eat fruit. Others eat it. We must remember that fruit isn't the same as results, because fruit has in it the seed for more fruit. It's the seed for more fruit. Fruit comes from life. The life of God flowing in and through us. And so the godly person is described here. The way of the godly is described in verses 1 to 3 of this psalm. And it's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we see Christ in the psalms, my friend. I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in this psalm. Because Christ is the way, verse 1. Christ is the truth, verse 2. Christ is the life, verse 3. There you have it in the psalm. Christ is in the psalm. He is perfect, friend. We are imperfect. He is the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that you might see Him this morning. But secondly, and finally, we have the way of the ungodly in verses 4 to 6, or the way of the unrighteous. And here's the contrast in the psalm. The person who lives without God is morally corrupt, will be condemned and damned forever. Let me ask the question this morning. Are the ungodly blessed? No. The Bible says the ungodly are not so. Are they happy? The Bible says they're not so. Are they successful? Oh, maybe in worldly terms they appear to be, but not so spiritually. Fruitful? Not so. All may seem to be well with them, as far as the world is concerned, as far as temporal, tangible things of life, what they can feel and touch and have as comforts in this world are concerned. But they're not so. And if you're not saved this morning, friend, it's not so with you. The ungodly do what God forbids, according to verse 1. They walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They stand in the way of sinners. They sit in the seat of the scornful. Therefore, unlike the righteous, they are like a tree which leaf withers. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. This is the picture here, the chaff from the harvest time. Part of the grain known as the chaff was discarded as worthless, having no value. I remember a time just about, away back in childhood, when the thresher was brought into the field and the corn was brought to the thresher. And of course, that was to take out the chaff. And then I used to like this bit. There was a bit of a bonfire in the field. And of course, it was all burned. The chaff was burned. It was of no value. Accordingly, the wicked are empty. They are void. They are futile. They are unsubstantial. They are shallow. They are worthless. In the end, they will sadly be burned in the fire. The Bible says, verse 5, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They will not have God's acceptance when they stand before Him at the last day.
Rather, they will be exposed for what they really are. And that day of judgment is coming, my friend. The Bible speaks of it in the 20th chapter of Revelation. We will stand before God and the books will be opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They will be justly condemned for their sin, sentenced to eternal punishment in hell. It will be so with you, my friend, even though you've listened to God's word. If you haven't heeded the message, if you haven't come to Christ, then, my friend, you will be judged at the last day. Your judgment will be the eternal judgment of a Christless hell, that final judgment. This last verse of the psalm summarizes the two ways of life. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the godly and the way of the ungodly. And the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The thought is, He has personal, intimate relationship with the godly. My friend, those of us who are truly saved this morning, we are truly the Lord's. We have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. Is that so with you this morning? And so He guards us and He guides us and He manifests His grace toward us. But the way of the ungodly, in contrast, shall perish. The ungodly sinner, judged and condemned in the final judgment, will be lost forever. The wicked will suffer relentless torment in that place called hell, a real place with real punishment. Always perishing. That word means that. Always perishing. Forever suffering the eternal wrath of God. Never finding release or relief from God's vengeance. Every person must ask the soul-searching question, what path am I traveling on? Have I entered at the straight gate that leads to the narrow way and eternal life? Or have I entered at the wide gate and the broad road that is headed for destruction? If you say you're walking the path of the righteous, this brings another series of questions. To determine the genuineness of your profession of faith, is there clear evidence in your life of a transformed life? Of living a separated life? Have you broken with the world? Are you delighting in God's law? Have you grown in your Christian life? Are you growing like the tree planted? Are you growing? Are you being fruitful for the Lord? And the answer to these questions indicate which path you travel. You see, there must be evidence of salvation. There must be fruit. That's the test of salvation. Is there such fruit in your life this morning? That's a very searching thing. Very personal thing for you. Not for me to determine, but for you this morning. Is there evidence of grace that you're walking with the godly and not the ungodly? This psalm begins with the word blessed. Blessed. It ends with the word perish. Perish. True believers are blessed in Christ with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3, following verses. They have received God's blessing. They ought to be a blessing to others. Especially to the chaff. In order that one day they will not be thrown into the fire. But they will be saved by your witness, by my witness. Let's seek to win as many as we can. To get them on the right way. The way to eternal life. Make sure you're on the right way this morning. May God write His word upon our hearts. We're singing the hymn called Unto Holiness, Church of Our God. 502. And it's on the screen and in your book, number 502. We'll stand after the introduction and sing this hymn together unto the Lord this morning. Thank you. Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church that comes to you from this church here in the Belfast Road in Ballygan. Trust that God has blessed you through the word. If we can help you further, do make contact with us, especially if you're not saved. You might today come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Father in heaven, apply thine own word to every heart this day. We pray that it be a saving word to those that are not saved. It be a word of challenge and blessing to those who are. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.